Praise the Lord and good morning, everyone. I feel it's a honor and joy and a privilege, though there are many experienced fathers are there, to preach a good message on Father's Day. But I feel to stand here and honor to tell the word of God, what is to be a father. So let's turn our Bibles to 1 Corinthians, 4th chapter. 1 Corinthians 4 chapter 4 verse 14 to 16, we'll read it all together. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 to 16, we'll read it all together. I write not these things to shame you, we read it all together. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved son, I warn. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be followers of me. May God bless this scripture portion and talk to us. And it's not only to talk to us, but might bring transformation in our lives. Let's look to the God for His grace. Heavenly gracious Father, once again, we look into your grace. Father, we come to your throne of grace. We need your help. We need your presence. Father, we need, Father, opening of eyes. Father, we want to see you, who you are, and help us to be a good father, good parents, oh Father. Without your help, we can't do anything. Just we bind the powers of darkness. We come under the sprinkling blood of Lord Jesus Christ. Oh Father, we bring our wandering thoughts into your captivity. Oh Father, counsel us, comfort us, exhort us, correct us, oh Father. Let our doubts may be cleared. Let our Father, if you are seeking for a guidance, you speak to us from your word. In Jesus' most exalted name we pray. Amen. There was a well-known preacher. He says by his experience, before I was married, had three theories how to raise a children. And after he had three children, he says, had three children, no theories. So, yeah, in this world, like as we are celebrating in this country, I think it's only Australia and New Zealand, I think they celebrate Father's Day on the first Sunday of the spring, that is today. And the remaining parts of the world, they celebrate on the third Sunday of the June. So, it's though the dates were fixed by the marketing people, because we can't celebrate in Australia during the time of June, because we have Queen's Birthday, Easter, and all those things. So, people won't buy Mother's Day, and people won't buy many things. So, they moved it to September 1st weekend. Though we take that as a privilege to know what Bible teaches us and what God wants to speak to us from the Word of God, who are the godly fathers and good fathers. Yesterday I was reading a news that Free Air television, they have pulled up an ad saying that about the fathers, importance of fathers, saying that it's too political because of the situation where they are having a postal ballot regarding the same sex. Yeah, we are in a society of the culture where they diminish the importance and the role of a father in a family. If you see movies or the television serials or the books we read, a secular world, they portray him as a stupid, dumb, or he doesn't understand anything. But in the Word of God, there's a special place or the important role, crucial role in the family of child of God. So there was a statistics which was taken in US and in Australia. I think in Australia 40% of the teenagers, they are without father. They are 40% of the teenagers which are growing in this Australia without teenagers. And it says that in US 20 million kids each night, though they go to bed without their father. There is no father. Mommy died, separated, I don't know, many issues. And the result of that is 70 to 80% of the prisoners are grown up in fatherless homes. 70 to 80%. And 71% of the dropouts are from fatherless homes. And 40% of chances that these houses are, these homes are financially in poverty. Not only psychological, emotional imbalance, but also financially they are in a poor state. And 550% rise in the crime because of there is no father in the house. And also 300% rise in suicide, because where there is no father in the house, there is a 300% chance that the children can commit suicide. And 400% rise in illegitimate children birth, childbirth. And 200% teen pregnancies. These are the statistics taken by, not by a Christian organization, but in normal statistics, yes, take it. And they prove that without father, girls especially, they will act, become sexually active, or girls or boys active, very engaged. And they are prone to addiction of drugs. And one of the Sydney-based author, his name is Robert Fuzzler, he says that, as a psychologist and a writer, he says that it is a social disaster and a problem far greater than smoking, alcoholism, and addiction. That is, father is not being there in a family. Maybe father is not taking that active role in the family. Maybe he's running from him, away from his role. And one man says, it is easy for a father to have a children. It is easy for a father to have a children, but it is difficult to children have a real father. It's difficult to have children to have a real father. And Billy Graham said like this, a good father is one of the unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, yet one of the valuable assets in our society. So, I would like to ask the fathers who are here to stand so that we can give a loud applause for you. Can you please stand up? Please, don't feel ashamed, because we are the, yeah, including myself, yeah. Thank you. So we appreciate all your effort and the time and the resources and the energy which you are spending to bring up the family, especially kids, so that they may be useful for the society and useful for the God especially, and His purposes, His plans may be brought in and may be executed in this corrupt world. So, happy Father's Day, dear fathers, including myself. So, I want to see a few things, like what is a father, godly father. I want to expand the acronym father, F-A-T-H-E-R. So please bear with me, and I need your kind attention, and as we go on this journey. So, Adrian Rogers, one of the famous speaker, he died. He called to be with the Lord, and he raised a church in the U.S. and he founded a ministry called Love Worth Finding Ministries. He said, "It is easy to be a good man. It is it's difficult to be a good husband." Do you agree? Yeah. Most of the men agree with me. Yeah. And it's the most difficult thing to be a good father. So let me start with the expanding the acronym father, F. From the word of God, we can see from F is a faithful, or the man of faith. Man of faith, or a faithful person. If you and I needs to be a good father or a godly father, we should be a man of faith. Man of faith. So there are a lot of examples in the Bible. Abraham, we studied in the life of Abraham. He's a father of faith, or three of the major religions in the world, they treat him as the father of their belief, isn't it? Christians, Jews and Muslims, they also treat, they consider him as the father of their religion. And if you see, he started his journey with the faith. God, though his father is an idolater, he's not a, his father, Thera, he was not a man of faith. He used to, they used to worship moon god or nature. But one day God appeared unto him, because God has a plan in his life. God dealt with him and said, come out of your land, from your parents, from your house, and go to the place which I show you. And Hebrews 11 chapter says that by faith, not knowing where he was going, he obeyed God and moved out of from that place. Abraham was a man of faith. So God is speaking to us. It is not, our faith is, one man of God said, our faith is as good as the object of our faith. You might have faith in, I heard a story about a family. They took a poison by thinking faith, having faith that it will heal them or will make them well from their sickness. Will that faith save them? No. Our faith is as good as the object of our faith. He's the Christ. He's the Christ who saves us. Christ is your object of faith. Or is yourself having that faith and I can do it? No, we can't do that. He is the finisher and the starter of our faith. So, godly fathers are the men of faith. We can see in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 41. Can somebody read it? Here we can see a father who is having faith. And Luke's Gospel, the 8th chapter, verse 41. Luke's Gospel, the 8th chapter, verse 41.
The man named Lazarus, the ruler of the synagogue,
came. Can you read it a little bit louder, Raj, please?
Then a man named Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying.
Yeah, here we can see a man named Jairus. There is a death in his family. His daughter has died. But he came to a right person with the right faith. Did Jesus raise that dead daughter? Yes. So he was a man of faith. The man of faith. So Jesus went in verse 51 to 56. We can see that she's not dead. And she went in. He went in and raised that daughter. And we can see other example in Matthew's Gospel 17th chapter. Jesus Christ was on this earth, he took three of his disciples with him to the Mount of Transfiguration, and remaining disciples were at the bottom of the mountain. And there came a father whose son was possessed with that fallacy, and he's always used to fall in water and in fire, but they were not able to heal him. And when Jesus Christ came down from that Mount of Transfiguration and he saw that one, he said that, how long I shall bear you, people of generation of little faith? And he says that, how long it's happening? Jesus says, from his childhood, and he healed him. In other gospel, he says that he is questioning the faith of that father. Not because disciples were not able to. It's both disciples and the father. But when he said that, you generation of little faith, he, the father, responded. And many times, we have faith in God, in the heavenly things, like if we die, we go to heaven. But many times we forgot to believe, or we ignore the fact that He can sustain us every day, moment by moment, for our life, our future, our children's future. So a good father or godly father is a man of faith. Not only man of faith, but a faithful person. Faithful to his wife, faithful to his children, faithful to the calling of the God. So may Lord help us to be a good fathers, a godly fathers, by being a man of faith and faithful to what He has given us the accountability or to hold or to look after it. And also, if you go back, go to the next step, like F is a faithful man of faith and a faithful person. Second word is A, affectionate or accessible. Affectionate and accessible. When I searched the dictionary for the word affectionate, what does it mean? It says, feel for or love or a heart or kindness to make other person something special. Yeah? So, a godly or a good father always will be affectionate towards his children. Always will be affectionate towards his children. Everyone feels to be loved, isn't it? All the persons who are sitting over here. We have that feeling in our hearts, or in that emotions, that we should be loved by someone, isn't it? Remember, if our children are not loved by parents, especially father, they end up are forced to get that affection or love from somewhere else, especially with the young people. If we fail to give that affection to our children, they are forced to get, they will try to get something from outside of the family. So, but when God, when father or the parent demonstrate that affection to the child in a sincere and pure heart, we can see the child grows in good hearted and well balanced and the unity in the family. And one man of God says that if you want to do good to your children, love your wife first. He says, if you want to do good to your children, love your wife first. When children sees a father or a husband loving his wife, they will know how much affectionate he is. And they feel, and that feeling of, and the conviction of security and the care in their heart, they will install or that be implemented. When they have that conviction that I have a security in this family or in their home or with the father, they will never hesitate to come to the father whenever they need him. That's the crux of affection. And in we many times during the worship service, I think we can quote that verse to 103 Psalm. Says that as father pitieth for his children, yes, pitieth all us. Kindness. How father has shown kindness towards his children, he has shown that kindness towards us because he knows their frame, our frame, how we were built, how we are there. Because father knows how their children are, how fragile they are, what are their weak areas. To know that, we need to spend time with the children. I'm not standing here saying that I am doing that, but with that aspiration, with that expectation that God will help me to be a good parent or a godly parent. May Lord help all of us to be a good and godly parent. So when we spend time with our children, we know what is his strengths. Not only strengths, we need to know their weaknesses too. So sometimes they won't tell our weaknesses. One time when I was talking to George, and I was saying that we need to tell our failures. When we tell our failures, they feel comfortable telling their failures. Most of the time in this world, we show forth our only the strengths, the good things. They feel that that's the only thing a person will have. But there is a part of failures or the weaknesses. So our children, maybe daughter, girl, boy, or the son, they should feel comfortable to come to us, tell them, Dad, I have this problem, what I shall do. I have this weakness, what I shall do. So may God give us the grace to build that access or that affection towards our children. That's the main theme of Luke 15. Many times we read that the story as a prodigal son, but is there a loving father there? When he failed miserably, he took all the money of the father, and he ran away and squandered that money, and he ended up living with the pigs and tried to eat the food of the pigs, but he didn't get it. But he remembered his father. He knows the father, how loving he is, how caring he is, how affectionate he is. Immediately he left that place and he came back to father. And contrary to that, we can see in the life of King David, when Absalom killed his elder brother because he corrupted his sister and ran away to his grandfather, and he was with the Absalom was with the grandfather in the kingdom, in his grandfather father's kingdom. But David's heart was to bring him, but he was not able to do. Then Joab made a plan. He saw the heart of the David, and he sent a woman to dramatize the situation. And he said, he found it, it's Joab's thing. So he called and asked her, tell me frankly, is that Joab asked you to do that? She says, like this, but he said, why king is stopping to bring his child? So, but it's written in 2 Kings, 14th chapter. 2 Kings, 14th chapter, verse 21. Can, if somebody has taken that portion, can please read it? 2 Kings, chapter 14, verse 21.
And all the people of Judah took Azariah, which was 16 years old, and made him king instead of his father, Amaziah.
I think it's 2 Samuel, sorry. 2 Samuel, sorry. 2 Samuel, 14th chapter, verse 21.
And the king said unto Joab, behold, now I have done this thing. Go therefore, bring the young man Absalom again.
And read verse 24, Matthew. Thank you.
24.
Yeah.
And the king said, let him turn to his own house, and let him not see my face. So Absalom returned to his own house and saw not the king's face.
Yeah. Verse 28.
So Absalom dwelt 2 years in Jerusalem and saw not the king's face.
Here we can see they are living under the same roof. Two persons living under the same roof, but they haven't seen their face to face each other. 2 full years. Mm-hmm. 2 full years. He's a father and a son. Many times we can see the families, some families, they live under the same roof. But if you ask about their children, they don't know. They might be physically together in the same, but emotionally they are disconnected. May God forbid us that in our families, we may not be the fathers like that, to disconnect from our children. We need to have the connection, emotional, and also that physical connection, to understand, to love, to care, to provide for them. We have seen these two contrary, the love of a father, prodigal son, and the love of David. Is one of the failures of the David is not bringing up their children, though he is a man of God, heart of God's own heart, man of God's own heart. One of the failures in his life is not bringing children in the ways of the God, because he didn't spend time with them. So what is stopping us to spend time with our children? Is it our jobs? Is it our financial commitments? Is it our careers? Is it our hobbies? Or is it our ministries? Man of God Adrian Rogers says that if you ask me to choose in between family and the church, I'll choose my family. If I go away from here, you will get another pastor. But if I go away from my family, they won't get none. So So may Lord help us to be an affectionate and accessible. We have verses from Hebrews saying that we have an high priest who went through all this, and he can help us in the time of trouble. Let's come to the throne of grace. We have that accessibility and the confidence, and we have confidence in Christ Jesus. And 1 John 5 says that whatsoever we ask in His name, that He's going to hear us. So when we have that spirit of adoption, when we have that connection with the God, then we come to His presence. He knows what's our need before we tell Him, and He provides us. So let's come to the third letter, is a T. The good father, a godly father, is not only faithful, man of faith and a faithful man, and is affectionate and is accessible. And the third one is, he's a good teacher. He's a good teacher. So in the Old Testament, when Moses commanded the fathers in Deuteronomy chapter 6, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6, 7 and 8, please.
And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them and sign on your hand, and they shall be upon this be between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates.
Yeah, he is instructing the father, parent. You should know them first, and then you have to instruct your children. When you walk, when you stand, when they sleep, and bind them to your doorpost. So he's giving the importance of Word of God. As Brother Arun is encouraging us to memorize the Word of God. And let's immerse and soak in the Word of God, so that we might train our children, teach our children, instruct them. And we know this verse very well, like Proverbs 22:6, book of Proverbs. Somebody says that, how I can teach your children? I don't know. One man of God said, go to the book of Proverbs. It gives you what you need to teach to your children. So Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6.
Start the children up in the ways.
Yeah. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. CH version says that train up a child the way he should go, but you yourself should go fast. You yourself should go fast. So we should be teachable fast. We should have learned or trained fast. Are we listening to the voice of God? Are we getting trained? Are we a teachable, having a spirit of teachable? Can somebody can come to us and say, brother, you're doing something wrong. Can you please sit right here? How you're taking it? How you're taking it? So, one of the great attribute of David in his life is a teachable spirit. We know that when Nathan came and said, you are the one who sinned against God, then immediately he repented. He didn't say like other kings, like they would have thrown him in the prison. Isn't it? They would have killed that prophet. And also, not only from the prophet, like when Abigail, when Nabal, when David's men came, when he was in the wilderness, his servants came to Nabal because he is having a sheep shearing at that festival, because at the time they will give gifts to the persons, the relatives and the people who helped him. When his servants, David's servants, came and asked the Nabal, his name means a stubborn or a unwise, foolish person. So he said that, who is David? I don't know, many people are there. He provoked the David so that he can come and kill him. Foolishly spoke. And he was enraged, David. He asked take the horses, let's go and kill him. So they were on the way. But Abigail, wise woman, she knows, and she prepared the food and wine and everything, and she came. And she met the David in between, on the way. He said that, please master. At that time, he wasn't angry, but his attitude we can see. When she was telling, he was listening. He didn't kill, he didn't went ahead and kill Nabal. He listened to the words of that lady, Abigail. So maybe a small experience than us, might be younger than to us. They may come and tell, are we ready to hear? Are we having that ability to get trained or teachable or to be corrected by them? Yeah. So good fathers are good teachers. And he says that train up a child in the way they should go, and they never depart. And Dr. James Dobson, if you go to Kurong, he's a well-known children's psychologist. I love his books. I never read him, but I usually used to listen here and there in the family talk. So he says that parenting is not for the cowards. Parenting is not for the cowards. And Ravi Zacharias expands it. He says that it's neither for the part-timers. Neither it for the part-timers. So in order to train a children, we should be a stronger bolt. Strong and a bolt. It's not that overburdening them, suppressing their spirit, but may God give us that boldness and confidence to teach our children. And chastening is part of the training. And last week when Matthew was speaking about the Saul and Jonathan, says that the one who spares the rod hates his son, but who loves his son will correct him. So in this society, they discourage us to discipline. It's not that we should take the rod and hit them, but each child has their own rod. So we can't use the same rod for all the children. So, for Jasper, I have to say, stop doing that. For Asher, I can't use the same thing. He will not listen. I used to use different stick or different rod for him. So, as we spend time with the children, God will give us how we can tell them or teach them. There's nothing wrong in the chastisement. In the Hebrews 12 chapter, when Joel asked a question about backsliding is chastisement. There is a good verse in Hebrews 12. He says that chastisement is one of the signs that we are the sons of God. If we are not chastised by God, that means that we are illegitimate children. We are not the sons of God. Because He loves us, because He cares of our well-being, He chastises us or disciplines us. And that's why in Proverbs 3, chapter 3, He says that, my son, do not despise the chastisement of father. So God is speaking to us. If God is taking us through the process of chastisement and discipline, do not reject it. Job says that before chastisement and discipline, I was going astray, but once it is done, I'm in the way of the Lord. So it's to bring us to the way of the Lord, not to destroy us, not to bring us or discourage us. He is doing out of love. Many times as a father, we chastise them out of anger, isn't it? When we get angry, then only we chastise. We won't do it out of love. So God is speaking to us. We should not do it out of anger, but out of love. That it should not be perished, but it should walk in the way of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians. Book of Ephesians. Just we are in the same, like teaching the children. God is not going to held accountable of our children teaching, of our grandparents. He won't go to our grandparents and say, why he is like that. He won't go to our cousins. He is not going to Sunday school teachers too. He's not going to ask church to. They have responsibility, but accountability lies with the parents. So, Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 4. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in nurture and admonishment of the Lord. Paul is writing to the Romans, saying that bring them, nurture them, admonish them. That's the part of the role of a father. So, and in that process, he is exhorting. There's a chance of discouraging them, overburdening them. He's saying that provoke not your children to wrath. And the same thing is written in the book of Epistle written to Colossians, chapter 3, verse 21. If somebody has taken, please read it for me. Yeah. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. So our correction, our discipline, our chastisement to our children should not bring discouragement in their life. They should not build the anger, resentment in their hearts, and they will get out one day. So he is warning the fathers, do not provoke them. The way we provoke them sometimes is, as we are seeing, like Matthew was sharing about Jacob's family, like Brother Arun was sharing that divided family, like Esau and Jacob. There's the partiality in the family that brings wrath or anger, builds anger in the life of the child. And also, if we compare one children with the other children, we can't compare. They are different, entirely unique, different. We can't compare them, and that will discourage them. If that whom with you are comparing, if he is little bit low side, he'll get discouraged. And if we are not satisfied with their performance, they'll get discouraged. We should compliment them, though they have done wrongly. Sometimes there should be a measure of compliment, then also correction. If you all the time if we complain and correct, they'll be discouraged. My father, my dad, my parents never be satisfied, and they try to give their best, but always their resentment will be failed. And I think that brings their great destruction to their life. So not only that, sometimes as parents they won't feel, as the children they won't feel they are wanted in the family. So that makes them discouragement. There may be several other things. These are the few things which we can say. So the father should be a great teacher or trainer. To be a great good teacher should go through that process. So may Lord help us to train our children so that they may be used for His glory. And the fourth one is honest or the humble. So one man is always, we say that, do as I say. But it should be do what I do. So what we say should match with what we are doing or how we are living. If that's not there, then they will easily identify. I was in Delhi, was talking to son of an, he came to Hyderabad, son of an servant who was serving in North India. Somebody asked him, why you are doing like this, a mischief, not a fellow. And why you are lying? My daddy does it, I will do it. So he's a grown up fellow. He has seen like his father preaches, but he's seen his life. So what I do doesn't matter, but how I live with the family, it matters. Because all the time they will watch us. So how we are walking, how is our conduct. So our yes should be yes and our no should be no. So I think personally I need to be corrected in that area so that I may walk what I say, and I should give a good impression and integrity that I should follow my father. At the same time, we should be humble. Coming to fifth word is E. Can you guess what is that E?
Example.
As we read in 1 Corinthians 4, chapter 14 to 17, he's saying that you have many instructors, but not many fathers, but I begot you as a father, and follow me. Paul was able to boldly say that, follow my example, follow my example. So we should be a role model to our children. Our children imitate their role model. and especially their parents or father. Father is their role model. So we can see how we are doing by how they are behaving. So help, may God help us to be in good examples. So in 1 Timothy, in what areas we should be in good examples? 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 12, let's read all together. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 12, we'll read it all together. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in speaking, in faith, and in purity. May God help us to apply this word in our life so that we might be examples. He's not telling example to the unbelievers. He said that in the church, in the believers, to the believers, in word, in conversation, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. So may God help us to have that exemplar life. When our kids sees us, they observe our lives, they might see that example in our life. And also we should be actively take part in the development, spiritual development, not only physical, educational, psychological, emotional, but also spiritual development of our children. And in this society, they diminish the role of a father in a family, but we should never underestimate the role of father. So we should be a good husband and also a good father to our children. And the last word is R. R is, it's reliable. We should be consistent, dependable, or responsible. So I think Harvard University, they have conducted an experiment. It's I think 90%, they say it's 90% correct as per the theory which they have experimented. I think they took a sample size of kids and they had, what is the chances of 4 to 5 at the 6 years age they can be delinquent. And there are the four reasons, or the four reasons where they can prevent that. One is fair and firm correction. Fair and firm correction, and it should be consistent. It should be consistent. So fair and firm, and also availability of the mother to look after the kids. So this is one of the consequences or the thing which prevents children to be delinquent. So here we can see, a week or 2 weeks back, I have seen news in Sydney Morning Herald, and that mother and the son found when they went to holiday in a Gold Coast, they found that a boy's father, after 17 years, running away from them because there was some dispute or disagreement in the family, and he walked away from the father, has walked away from the house. And after 17 years, they saw him in the parking, and she was crying, and he was telling to his son that he is father, but they were never able to go to that person and say that he is a father, and they were regretting why, what we should have done to talk to him. Many fathers, they are running from away from their roles, running away from the difficulties, running away from the responsibilities. God wants us to be a reliable, consistent, and responsible dads. And God is going to reward, not only it's reliable, He's going to reward us. And Exodus chapter 2, when Moses was kept in the water, and Pharaoh's daughter came, and she picked up, he was crying, she found favor in the sight, Moses found favor in the sight of that Pharaoh's daughter. She looked, and Miriam was there, and Miriam came and said, can I find a nurse for this boy? I said, yeah. And she went and bought the Sephora, not Sephora, it's Jacobet. And she came to the Pharaoh's daughter, she said, take this boy and nurse him, I pay. So same thing is now, though she's mother, God is talking to us. When we bring up our children in the ways of the God, God is going to reward us. And one of the great reward is Proverbs 23:24. We'll read it all together. Proverbs 23:24. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that feareth the wise shall have a joy of him. And this similar verse we can find in 3 John verse 4. John is writing to the one of the church during this time. 3 John verse 4. Third John verse 4. Third epistle of John verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking. When we see our children when they grow up, walking in the ways of the Lord, when they minister the Lord, when they serve the Lord, how great joy we should be, isn't it? May Lord give us the great joy. So it's our privilege. God has entrusted that these little lives in our hands because He is having faith in us so that we depend on Him and train these children. And before I close, I want to tell two things. First is Malachi 4:15. We'll read it all together. We know that Old Testament, sorry, 4:6, sorry. Old Testament ends with the Son of Righteousness. So there is one more verse, the last verse of the Old Testament. Shall we read it all together? 5 and 6. Behold, I will send you Elijah, prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful of day. He shall turn to the heart of fathers to the children, the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Yeah, you might be here sitting today, knowing that my father has not done what he should have done in my life. You have that resentment, you have that grudge, or unthankfulness towards your father. So God is talking to us, saying that He's going to turn father's heart to the children and children heart to the father. If we have known that our children are having something, they're angry on us, as a father, we need to take that initiative and talk to them. Reconcile. As a son, if you have known the Lord, if you know that dad has something not done what he should have done, you are having something of resentment, can you ask God, give grace, to go back to that dad? Say, daddy, though he is wrong, they are not perfect. Well-known, great, and good fathers or godly fathers. They know better than us. And talk to them. And say, sorry, Dad. And reconcile with God. Forgive them and forget them. Forget what they have done. God will bless them. Many children, because I have known in my own life that when I was doing my PG, my friend used to share, his father was an alcoholic. He said that my best place every evening is to go to the dam. They used to live in Nagarjuna Sagar. It's a big dam, he said, to go there and cry because his father is an alcoholic. He used to drink every night and beat his mom and his children. So because of that, they have great anger, resentment, and they look back and they destroy their future. But there is a future in forgiving them because of the grace of God. If you have not known Christ as your personal Savior, it's very difficult. If you have known Christ as your personal Savior, then God will give you that grace. Can you ask Jesus to come into your life and He will help you to forgive them? And also as a children, many of us are sitting here, we are the children to our fathers, though we are the fathers. Isn't it? The one thing they need today, you may be a woman or a man, boy or a girl, say, can you please say, I love you, Daddy. In my life, I never say that. the culture we grew up, we never say that, hello daddy. So yesterday they thought, first time I texted him. I know all his imperfection, I disagree with him many things. I said, while I'm preparing this, God was speaking to me. I feel a little bit ashamed to call him and tell I love you daddy, but I texted him, I love you dad. So may God give us, that's the best gift as a child to our parent, our father. Today they might hear, we can see you talk to them, but after some days they might not be here. So we thank God for giving us fathers. And we thank them also for the time which they have spent. And one of the advice from a well-known person to the fathers, she given, I close with this one, Corrie Ten Boom, we know her very well. Before her death, she visited a church in South Carolina, and the pastor was a good friend of her. And his name is Chuck Swindoll, Charles Swindoll or Chuck Swindoll. So he's a well-known author, and he is writing in his blog or the article, he says that fathers or parents hold loosely everything. And he writes like this. She came after the message, church service. So she came, she's older, I think 90 plus, and he is also 80 plus. So and he asked, she asked him, how many kids are the parents, are the grandchildren? He explained this many children and this many grandchildren. And she took hold of his hands and hold his hand. He says, dear Swindoll, my advice to you, hold loose everything, even your children. Even your children. One day God wants them. One day God wants them. So if you hold them tightly, you will feel hurt. It's not that we lose them freely like however they want, but emotionally. So he writes that our children, our time, our health, everything belongs to him. He is the sovereign. Hold loose everything, including our children. And one of the character which David portrays father as an archer, he says that children are heritage from the God. And blessed are they who have children in their youth, and they fill their quiver with the full of arrows. I'll read that verse. Yeah. 127 Psalm. Verse 3 and 4. 3, 4, 5. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is reward. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, they shall speak with the enemies of God. So Matthew was announcing about the archery. Try archery. I suggest you go and try archery, because he says that you know something related to fatherhood or parenthood. So archery is arrows. Children are like arrows. Arrows won't be, we can't get the arrows on the plant season, we will get the stick. So by nature, they are not straight. We have to straighten them first. And they are not sharp, you have to sharpen them first and shoot. So unless you hold like that, you can't shoot it, you have to lose it, isn't it? So they are like arrows. So the places where we can go, we can't go. Places where we can't reach, they go and do marvelous things for the Lord. And he says that they can stand at the gate of the enemies and they can speak. So we are living in a culture where many things coming contrary to the word of God. There is our children. They are going to stand. And they are going to stand for the Lord. Unless we straighten them and sharpen them and shoot them. So don't hold them tightly. Get a great plans in the life of our children. So may God bless us and help us, including myself, to be a good and godly father. And please call your father the best gift. Not them. They don't need any financial or material things. Just call them and say, four words, I like that. That will bring great joy to their hearts. May God bless us.